Welcome to CMO Convo, the podcast where we deep dive into the minds of chief marketing officers from across the globe. Every week, we bring you candid conversations with top CMOs who share their experiences, strategies, and insights into the ever-evolving world of marketing leadership.
Hey, and welcome to CMO Convo podcast. Today, we have Yanina Abu-Elvad, Senior Product Marketing Manager at Retresco. Yanina, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Today, we're going to talk about a wonderful topic called AI. So also in the previous episode with Steve Kafer and Bonnie, we spoke a bit about AI and creativity and also the effects of AI on the whole marketing realm in a way. So I'm very happy to have you as a guest today. As we all know, AI is really transforming so many aspects of our life, but especially in marketing and the topic of creativity, I feel as if it's even booming in a much more explosive way, so to say. So today in this episode, we will explore some fascinating topics around AI's potential pitfalls and also a bit of ethical responsibilities we might have as concern, right? So let's jump right in. Yanina, if you don't mind, would you share a bit about how your day-to-day looks like working in an AI company?
Sure. As a product marketing manager, I, of course, sit at the intersection of product and the customer, and I'm making sure that our AI-powered solutions align with what the world needs, so what is out there. And we currently focus on publishing and media, and our AI software also focuses on content and text mostly, so generative AI when it comes to text generation. And my journey into AI actually started with the launch of ChatGPT, which is almost 2 years ago on the dot. So my fascination started there in my old job. And then Retresco reached out to me and I thought it was a very interesting opportunity for me to dive into that. And within my year and a few months that I've been working there, so much has happened in the realm of AI that it's never boring. There's always new things to develop based off of AI. And that's very interesting to me.
I can only imagine, you know, as a person who uses AI, so I can only imagine how it feels to work in a company that the product is based on AI. So that's amazing. I want to touch on the topic of, you know, the debate whether AI systems or generative AI is really sophisticated enough and can truly replace human creativity. I think that that's a topic that now kind of like in the heart of all of us marketeers. And there are different assumptions and also different use cases. And I would love to get a bit of your perspective. Do you really believe that it can replace human creativity?
You know, even I am sometimes surprised by outputs that I get by using AI. So sometimes it gives me ideas that I might not have thought of before myself, just because it's attached to an entire system of information. So it's analyzing vast data sets, it identifies patterns, recombines them in novel ways, but of course it's based off of what other people have already put out there. So you could argue that it might not have human-like intuition and creativity, but it allows you to have access to more information and process more information than you can do on your own. So if I had to sit down and research the entire internet for specific information on a topic, then it would take me forever, and the AI can help me achieve that in a couple of minutes. Of course, it's all very functional, so it generates outputs based on probabilities and training data, and of course you can train a model based off of a data set that is very specific, such as medicine or finance, and then you can get a better output, a better context awareness from the model there. But I would argue that if it comes to nuances in human interaction or even cultural nuances, that the large language models are not either there yet, or we'll never achieve a level where we would say we understand our customers the best, and we can actually say that this, let's say, messaging maybe will touch them most, like over something that the AI would have suggested. So I think I would see it both ways. It's a very handy tool when it comes to information and research, but maybe the last touches in marketing need to be done by a human.
Yeah, thank you very much for the explanation. I just want to quote Steve from the last episode where he said that the human mind and the creativity is limitless.
That's right.
And with AI, as we know it now, and we don't know where it's going to evolve. I don't know how AI is going to look like 5 years from now. Like, even trying to imagine is crazy. I could ask maybe ChatGPT to create an image for that, just for fun. But would you agree with that statement that the main differentiation between the AI and the abilities of human creativity is that AI, yes, as you said, it's based on information that is already existing. So it's great for research. But when we really talk about the limitless of creativity, or even when we talk about art, and for me, writing is a form of art.
That's great. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's a
so
very
what are your
interesting
thoughts
perspective.
about that?
I have many thoughts about that because, of course, what we already heard from leading AI developers and also even Sam Altman, they say that even the internet is finite. So there's an end to the information they can get to train their models. And if human creativity is infinite, then of course we have the answer right there. What we can, or what AI can do, is of course develop or make their models better in a way that they compute the information that they receive in a different way. And we are talking about AGI, artificial general intelligence, that will be able to do its own reasoning in a way and maybe come up with new things. But I still believe that it takes us some time. Sam Altman thinks it's next year that we will see AGI come and rise up and actually become more human-like. But I believe that it will take us more time because we already see now that LLMs, as they are, they have a lot of flaws. And there's huge debate over if even like training on text, on art, is even allowed. Is maybe copyright infringement is a big topic. And recently there was an court ruling in the US that said actually it was against some smaller digital publishers who said, hey, AI is training on our data. We don't want that. It's our intellectual property. And the court actually said, no, in fact, if you are citing facts on your page, those are accessible to everyone, and you cannot claim ownership over the facts that you use to write your articles. So in the end, they lost the case against AI or OpenAI. That actually sets a big example in the industry. I know there's another court ruling open between New York Times and OpenAI, which we don't know the outcome yet, which will be very interesting for us to see. But it, of course, sets an example that says, hey, you as an author, you don't necessarily have the right over the way you write, which is, in my opinion, not the end of the discussion, because, of course, you can have different tonalities and styles. Many authors disallow the use of their works for AI. Just to maintain that maybe even uniqueness and not being copied by a system that can just take your stuff and multiply it very, very easily. So yeah, it's a very tough question, and I believe there's some perils in there that we need to be aware of. So do not have AI take over or take on all of the creative part and rip off of existing art and existing texts. And at the same time, making use of AI in a way that helps you and enhance your works, maybe, or enhance your writing, enhance your art. So yeah, it's a double-edged sword, and I don't have the answer to that, but I see both sides.
So really talking about the death of the author, you know.
Yes.
I'm
Even
gonna
though
jump.
working in media, we can say that AI can be a great tool for authors. If you have it can be used across the entire value chain, from research to actually making sure that your works are free of mistakes, for example, to generating SEO relevant meta descriptions, meta titles around the work. So not necessarily taking on the act of writing your article, but then making it so much more easy to, I don't know, promote it, to publish it to social media, to print. Just that's a good way to work with AI, I'd say.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think that the whole topic of SEO and AI, for me, it's even like a different topic. So we're not going to
Definitely.
touch that. I have a dream. I want to write a book with ChatGPT as a sparring partner. I'm going to
Yes.
do it. It's a challenge that I'm about to
Looking
challenge
forward to
myself.
seeing you
So
to reading
I
that.
will
Yeah.
get back to you.
Cool.
I'm going to jump into my next question, which is around how authentic can AI be? So we know that now a lot of marketeers, and especially on LinkedIn, they use a lot of AI type of writing. And you and I have already discussed that also on LinkedIn. But basically, how authentic can AI be? And can the audience, can they really detect if the text was written by a human or AI?
Yes. I would say it always depends on the model and how sophisticated a model is, because often you will find or you will get an inkling that something is written with AI just by the wording, perhaps, or by the way it's structured, even because you see so many AI-generated outputs. And in the media business, again, what we see is that people trust pages that only use AI-generated news less than they trust established brands such as even like New York Times, for example, because of fake data, fake information that can sift through and that can somehow leave a weird feeling and also be very dangerous if it's the wrong information. But also, I think that with authenticity, it basically all results into like the same mass. If you use, for example, if you use ChatGPT, which is basically the same for everyone, it's very tough to differentiate. Again, if you have some models that are trained on a specific set, I think I recently read an article that they trained a model on Shakespearean poems and other like British authors' poems, and they had the LLM construct new poems from what they learned, and then they tested it against a set of readers, and actually in like almost 50% of the times, they could not differentiate whether it was AI generated or a real Shakespearean or Dickinson poem. So, and most of the times, they even preferred the AI generated poem over the original. So that
Wow,
was quite interesting.
that
Yeah,
is
so it
quite
gets harder, I
interesting.
would say, in differentiating. And yeah, so well, like I said before, sometimes it's tough to get the note or the nuance right with an LLM, so it's better if you bring it your own touch and if you know who you're talking to. But if it's just, let's say, putting it out on LinkedIn for the masses to read, it might be fine if you just use AI generated text. So yeah, where varies it from what you use it for, from where you
Yeah.
post your content.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Would you mind touching a bit the base of success stories that are around Gen AI? So, have you ever had this type of experience where you saw a campaign really explode in a massive way while using Gen AI? Or if it contributed to the success of any campaign that you've worked on for your company as well?
I have to say that I see campaigns even running on TV that are video campaigns that I think are pretty much AI generated, and I can tell because of course you have these fragments where we can somehow tell it's not real humans, it's not real animation that is going on, but it's just something that an AI must have created. And I find myself sitting there and being like, not sure if I like it or not, because to me seems like a cheap way of getting to your results, while in actual life, like you will have animators and you will have actors who could do a better job at conveying what the company wants to say. So that maybe is a bad example for a campaign. I think there are good ones out there. I would have to think about it closely if I know of someone that has used AI. What I can think of now, but it's been years since that has been running, is that around the Super Bowl there were like AI generated claims for big companies, for big brands, were very, very funny, and it even gave them prompts as how they could market their products, and even gave you scripts for videos, etc. And it was just simply hilarious. And I think that was good advertising because it kind of showed, with a wink, showed how AI could potentially market your stuff. But it usually ends up very bad or very weird. So that was funny in a way, and I believe they made use of AI when it was still very new. Right now, I think that it's a very fine line because people know about AI, they know how to detect AI, and often, at least for me, it feels like if you go the AI route, it has to be either really good or it kind of feels very cheap and very like the easy way out for a marketing campaign. So, yeah, actually, I would say if you use AI, use it as an assistant more than having AI do the entire job for you. But yes, I'm not sure if I know of a campaign that entirely runs on AI that was super successful.
Yeah, that's a great input. And I'm, of course, a huge supporter of just using AI as a sparring partner, as an editor, as an assistant for researching frame of work structures. I think that that's great. But yeah, never just copy paste and use that especially not if you want to really create brand and storytelling, etc. So yeah, I do
What's
not
very
foresee that
interesting
happening.
is that even in product launches from big AI companies such as Google with Google AI Overviews, there were mishaps even in the product demo. So they were Google's AI Overviews is an AI search where you can type in complex questions and it gives you a box with the answer right on top of the search results. And then they, I think, typed in something about an event in California, like when does the event happen, something around that event. And it cited the wrong date or the wrong place, something. So even the information in that product demo was off, which is not very, it's not helping the case. So even that can happen when you use AI. So you need to be very careful. How to use it and maybe
Yeah,
even
you should
control
double
your
check it. Yeah, you should be the
yep
editor and proofread of AI, which leads me
right
to the next very interesting question about the topic of when Gen AI fails short. So, what happens when Gen AI fails to deliver or even kind of like create any hurdles within a process? And I want to challenge you a bit, if you will. So just a few days ago, I saw I read an article about something that happened in the US when a student used Jimny AI, and maybe you've heard of that.
Not
And the
that.
AI said to the student, and I quote, "You are not needed, please die." Now, that's a huge fail, and we know that different AI, we've already saw that sometimes, and I don't know how you reach that type of conversation because for some reason AI is very nice and friendly to me. But I would say
Yeah.
that that's a huge fail. So what we already mentioned about this event, that's a fail, right? But that's a fail in the marketing process. But really, what happens when Gen AI is starting to talk very badly or tell people to die or even pushes some people? And this is just one accident. I just mentioned it because I saw it in the news a few days ago, but it's definitely not the first time.
Yes. So apart from being very, very bad for your brand if you're being associated to something like that, it can be very, very dangerous depending on who or which person this message gets delivered to. If they're very fragile, they might really take it seriously. I have already read on about cases with different AI applications that take on specific roles, or you can role play with an AI that then again tells you to do very harmful things to yourself. And there are teenagers out there that already did things like that, so it's quite dangerous. And then the question arises, who's responsible for all that? Is it the tech company behind it? Is it a case of the users not using AI to an extent that it's supposed to be used for? We all know about attempts to maybe get OpenAI and ChatGPT to give out plans on how to build a bomb. Those were all across the news. Like, give me very, very information that is not supposed to be leaked from a large language model. And of course, that is very dangerous to humankind and to just everybody every single person out there. Apart from these catastrophic scenarios, fake news and fake information is always a harm to a society in general. And LLMs
True.
still struggle a lot with hallucinations and fake information that are fabricated from the things they learn and maybe just put together in a wrong way. And people, amongst which are Sam Altman, also said that it will never fully go away because if you take the opportunity of LLMs to freely associate things away from the system, it compromises the quality of its outputs and involves making the model more conservative, so taking away the entire creativity that a model can offer. So there will always be a small percentage of times where the AI will give you fake news, and that can be funny, but that can also be quite harmful, especially when we talk about politics and influencing the votes or influencing outcomes, influencing maybe people who use AI as a source of information to know like which party to vote for. So yeah, I think there's quite a ton of harm that can be done with AI. So thinking about the ethics and the guidelines and
Yeah.
just reining in AI in a way that makes it less dangerous is very important for us these days.
So the dark side of AI, I think that that's a whole topic by itself, but thank you very much for allowing me to challenge you with this
Yes.
with this question. I want to talk a bit about the ethics. So you've already started mentioning it. How can we as a society, or let's say, to what extent is the responsibility of an AI company over whatever the AI then generates?
Yes, I think that's where everything would start, because of course the developers, they know best how their large language models work, even though I have to say large language models are in a way also a black box because they operate on their own. There's stuff that happens in the background, but even being transparent about the algorithms they use and involve teams to test it thoroughly and just making sure they prompt some regulations, some guidelines that refrain or that makes AI or that helps AI to decide whether some information is harmful or maybe even to step back and say, I'm not supposed to leak this sort of information. That is in the hand of developers and tech companies. And I believe that it's also their job to stand up for the mistakes an LLM makes. And things like OpenAI dissolving their safety team does not send the right message. So that's something that happened, especially when it comes to launching or making or working with OpenAI to achieve an AGI environment. It's always best if everybody is involved. So not only the tech companies that put out the LLMs, but also maybe governments that say, hey, you can only, or you, if you want to roll out an LLM in our country, you need to make sure that these tests are being done or these frameworks are being followed. And then as a user, somehow, maybe even that's a tech company thing to do, just teach or letting users know about the perils of an LLM or give them the right education or warnings, even if some output is being generated or is close to being generated, then just letting the user know to always control something or use common sense to just question what the output might be. So everybody is involved in a way, users, developers, and the government, but it's all starts with the tech companies, I would say.
It sounds to me like it's a two-way street. You know, on
Yes.
the one hand, of course, society and maybe one day even legal consoles will be, of course, involved on this new area, which we need to somehow control or to regulate in a way. But on the other hand, it sounds to me as if the next generation, our children's basically, we will need to educate them much more about critical thinking and not taking things for granted and how to use AI for good and not for harmful things. And I think that will be an interesting time coming across the world in general, us as society. And I still feel as if we need to learn and to handle that.
I believe that the
So
next generation growing up, I hope and I pray and I cross my fingers that they will grow up knowing these things in a way that we grew up knowing about new technology that came our way in that back in the day. But yes, I hope that this sort of knowledge and critical thinking is really bestowed upon the next generation and us as well going
yeah,
forward.
no, 100% agree. Although I do have to say that I still remember the days that the internet was a very innocent environment. So it was not like that. Okay, so looking ahead, as we said, so as we move further with the area of AI, do you have anything that really excites you or about the potential or something that you see like as a key challenges, but maybe also an opportunity?
Yes, as a product marketer too, I'm inherently curious to see what kind of solutions AI can or what kind of problems AI can solve in the future, not only for like publishing and media, but also other industries. And I believe that every month, every year, you will find new ways on how to use it in a good way to be an assistant and to be helpful. But I'm also very concerned about the misinformation and also this letting AI loose in an AGI kind of way without any regulations at hand. So I hope for guidelines to be established pretty soon, at least on a global level or like a governmental level, so we can all experiment with it and be safe.
Thank you very much. You sound cool. So any final thoughts, Irina? We're now at the end of the interview. Something else that you would like to share, it could be not revolving AI as well. So
I would say don't be afraid to test or use it because expertise, of course, comes from making the experiences yourself. So go ahead, and if you have, I mean, it's very easy to use ChatGPT. It's free, so just go ahead and try a little bit, try it out. It can be very effective also in your personal life if you feel like it. It can have fun implications such as, yeah, I don't know, just write a good bedtime story for your toddler and use their name and use all the favorite things that they have and then read it to them. And it can be very fun, a very fun way to work with it. So just let's embrace the possibilities, but stay critical and stay aware of the possible dangers of AI.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great way to wrap up this lovely discussion. So, Janina, I will say thank you very much for being a guest in this podcast. And for our guests, thank you very much for joining and listening. I hope you found this conversation very insightful. And yeah, please stay tuned for more thought leadership in the realm of marketing. I hope to tune in again. Ciao.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of CMO Convo. For more content like this, check the recommended videos on your screen now. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to our channel, and hit the notification bell so you never miss a thing.